prayer. Tonight we're going to keep going in our series about the things that Jesus said related to the words I am. This is week three. And just to recap some basic parts of the story of Jesus, Jesus was a real person who really lived on earth 2,000 years ago. And there's a lot of information that we have about his birth. But then after his birth, there's not so much information for about 30 years. There is a story in the Bible about when he was 12, a short story about him interacting with some leaders in the temple when he was 12. But then not so much until Jesus gets to be about 30. And then there's a lot of information. Most of the Gospels, or the first four books in the New Testament, is about those 3-plus years of Jesus' life. He did so much in that time. That's when he started his ministry. His ministry lasted for a little over 3 years, and then he was crucified, buried, and rose again. He did so much. He ministered to so many people. He helped people. He healed people. He listened to people. He spent time with them. He spent time with people that some people didn't want to spend time with. He did a lot of surprising things in his life. He handled situations in unexpected ways, very hard situations sometimes. But I think what I want you to know is that Jesus loved people. He loved people, all kinds of people. He knew how they felt, what they thought. He knew their secrets. He knew everything about them, and he still loved them. I want to stop right there and say that that is not just true of Jesus back then. That's true of him now. He loves you. He knows everything about you. He knows how you feel. He knows the pains in your life. He knows the things that you've done that you're ashamed of. He knows your greatest victories. He knows if you're here tonight and you have a broken dream. And he loves you. He does. He is interested in your life. So it was true back then as he walked the earth, but it's just as true now. Jesus is alive. He's living. And he is interested in you. He loves you. He hasn't changed. He still loves people. All kinds of people, everyone in here. And that's why we're taking these weeks and learning more about him. Because he's real, he loves you, and he wants you to have a relationship with him. That's why we're taking these weeks to talk about him. Another important thing that Jesus did was teach people. He would have these times when he would have a lesson, and he would stop and teach people. And people really gravitated toward his lessons. You could call them sermons or lessons or illustration, lots of different things. Jesus did all of those. He compared himself to things that we can understand. Everyday people could understand his everyday illustrations. He is so great, and we are human. So to help us, Jesus taught in ways that we could understand him. Week one, he said that he said, I am the bread of life. We can understand bread. We can relate to bread. That's something we know about. Last week, we saw that Jesus said that I am the light of the world. We can understand the concept of light. And tonight, we're going to talk just a little bit about Jesus is the door, and another something we can understand. Now, you take John 10, where we're going to read a verse here in a second. That the first half of John 10 is Jesus teaching about sheep. It's a lesson from Jesus about sheep. And next week, we're going to do a deeper dive into that because he says he's the good shepherd. In John 10, 11, that's when he says that, and it's another one of the great I am statements. But two verses before that, in John 10, verse 9, let's read what Jesus says about him being the door. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. There it is. This is the third of the seven great I am statements that Jesus made, and he says, I am the door. He wants us to know that. He wants us to kind of think through what that means. One of the important things that Jesus wanted us to know about him is that he is the door. Now, you know, all these I am statements, they mean something. He didn't just say them or think of them quickly. They're designed to teach us very, very important things about the Lord Jesus. They all work together to kind of form a net that we can depend on to teach us great things about Jesus. For example, week one, he said, I am the bread of life. He wants us to know that we need Jesus every day, just like we need normal food. Last week, when he says, I am the light of the world, well, there's an important lesson in that, and that is he wants us to know that he can bring light to those hard, tough, dark places in our life. He wants us to know that. We can depend on him so that we don't have to abide in darkness, he says. Now, tonight, when he says week three, I am the door, he wants us to know something very important, and this is tonight's takeaway. He wants us to know that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. He's the door. I mean, that's what a door is. It's the way in. It's the way you get inside. Now, here we are at the Esquire. Let's take a poll. How many of you came into this room through a window? Raise your hand. How many of you came through the ceiling? How many of you dug a tunnel and came up through the stage? Now, how many of you came through a door tonight? Now, see, there you go. Look around. Now, there may be some strange person that tried to climb through a window. I hope you all come through the door. See, that's what a door is. It's the way in, the way you get inside. And Jesus here in John 10 says, hey, I'm that door. I am the way that you get in to God's family. It's me. He's the only way. He's the way to God's family. Jesus is the way to heaven. He is the way to a life that matters. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the door. I want to talk a little bit about Noah's Ark for a second. I've really been thinking about Noah's Ark and how it's like the church. If I get to speak at Big Church again, I'll probably talk about this. So when I get the opportunity to speak again over on a Sunday morning, I think I will actually talk more about Noah's Ark. It's really been on my mind and my heart. I think there's some deep lessons we can learn about the church from Noah's Ark. Now, it happened thousands of years before Jesus and before God started the church, but I think there's some deep lessons about Jesus and the church we can learn from Noah's Ark. When Noah finished the ark, lots of things happened, but one important thing happened. First of all, he went in with his family. And then all of these different, beautiful kinds of animals, not just certain animals, but a whole bunch of beautiful, different animals that you would never see together, went into that ark. That is a beautiful picture of the church. We are a beautiful, beautifully different group of people that's all in the same place, the same family of God. And we normally probably wouldn't be together. We normally wouldn't hang out. We like different things. We have different politics. We have different sports teams. We have different things we like to do. We have different personalities. But you know what holds us together is Jesus. He holds us together. And so when we are so different, like those animals in the ark, and we come together and we're not ashamed to say, you know, I follow Jesus and I'm a member of his church, it is a great testimony of God's greatness. People watched the animals go in and they couldn't explain it. I mean, you would see animals from one part of a habitat in another part that normally wouldn't be together. And here's God bringing them into that boat supernaturally, and people on the outside were thinking, wow, I may not know what's going on, but something's going on, right? That's the church. When people looking for answers see us together who are really different and beautifully gifted in different ways, when they see us come together, that is a great testimony. Now, you know what happened when all of those animals got in the ark? First of all, let me ask a dumb question. How did those animals get into the ark? How'd they get in? A door, right. Look at Genesis 6, verse 16. A window shalt thou make of the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. So the ark had a door, and there's a point when God shut the door. Look at chapter 7, verse number 15. And when they went in unto Noah in the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut them in. Lord closed that door. He closed that door, and the opportunity to get into that ark was gone. So I think that's a beautiful, and you could take a type too far, maybe a little ways, but I think that's a picture of all of the animals. You know, you've probably seen the kids' books. They kind of are all in a line, and they're all going through that door. I think that door is a picture, or it teaches us, maybe not perfectly, but it teaches us that Jesus is the door to God's family. I think there's something there. I do. When I read this, I think about when Jesus said that He is the door. He's the way in. He's the way to safety. He's the way to keep from facing God's judgment. I want to say one more thing about the door. If you remember the verse we read in John, Jesus didn't say, "I am a door" or "one door." He said, "I am the door. I am the door." The door. How many doors does He mean? One door. He is one door, not one of many doors. He is the door. I am the door. If you remember four words tonight, remember that. Jesus says, "I am the door." Jesus is the only way. I'm going to tell you a story that I saw on TV, and we'll be done tonight. I bet it was a long time ago, at least 10 years ago. I used to watch Fox Business News, and I would watch Don Imus. Now, Don Imus passed away, I think, a couple years ago. How many of you know who Don Imus is? He was a radio guy, and he said some things probably you probably wouldn't say from the Esquire stage. I admit that, but I thought he was an honest guy, honest guy. And one time, he had a religious leader on the show. And it kind of caught my attention because he started asking this religious leader some pretty pointed questions. And Imus and the religious leader got to talking about Mike Huckabee, who was then, I think, running for president or a pretty high up in Arkansas politics. In fact, back then, there was a pastor on staff that I served with, Freddie Pike, and who knew Mike Huckabee, and he would talk about Mike Huckabee, and so I kind of was interested that Don Imus brought him up. So Imus says to the religious leader, "I was talking to Mike Huckabee," this is Imus, "and Mike Huckabee is a Baptist, about how to get to heaven." So Imus is talking to Mike Huckabee about how to get to heaven. And Imus says, "I asked Mike if he believed a person had to accept Jesus as their personal Savior to go to heaven." And Mike Huckabee said, "Yes, I believe that, Don." Now, stepping back, you could tell on TV that kind of bothered Imus. That was unsettling to him. He didn't necessarily like that answer. And so he is talking to this other religious leader about that. And Imus wasn't angry. He wasn't adversarial against Mike Huckabee, but he was really thinking about it and starting to pick at the truth that was on his heart. So Imus asked the religious leader, are there many paths to heaven? Isn't that true that there are many ways to heaven? And the priest said, yes, I believe there are many paths to heaven, and that a person doesn't necessarily have to accept Jesus like Mike Huckabee said. I'm going to can I be real with you a second? Can I just tell you can I tell you something honestly? I felt I was so mad about that. I was angry. If I could have punched that religious leader in the nose, amen, in Jesus' name, I would have done it right then. I would have punched him in the nose. Now, I probably wouldn't now, and I know it's not the thing to do, but that made me mad. This was a big chance with lots of people watching. He could have really made a difference to them and to Imus, who was searching for truth. Probably a few million people watching, and I believe he blew it. I believe he had a chance to say, you know, it doesn't matter what Mike Huckabee thinks. Okay, but Jesus is the only way. He could have said something like that, but he didn't. And it really, really made me mad. And honestly, I would have punched him if I could have, because I do believe that. I believe Jesus is the only way, and he had a great chance to tell millions of people that, and he backed off. Jesus is the door. He is the only way. In fact, it doesn't matter if I believe it or not, he's still the only way. He is the only way into God's family. It wouldn't help anything if I punched the guy. I probably wouldn't now. I have settled down then. It would have been a bad testimony. But think about it. That was his moment. That was set up for him to show people how to get into God's family. Maybe even go to a verse. Well, let me show you this verse. Jesus says, I'm the door. He could have done something like that. I don't think he took his chance very well. Now, again, not going to punch the guy in the nose, but he had his chance. So I'll say this. Tonight, it's my chance. And I'm not talking to a million people. We probably have 75 people. And I don't want to blow my chance, so I will tell you clearly, Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. He is the door. There aren't many doors. There aren't half a dozen doors. Jesus is the door. It's just Jesus. He's the only way. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for clear verses. Thank you for chances we have in life to let people know that you are the only way. Lord, I believe that with all my heart. I don't think I believe anything more than I believe that you are the only way. And I have some strong beliefs, but I don't think I believe anything more than I believe that. You're the only way. Lord, I pray for anyone tonight that's unsettled, maybe like that Don Imus is asking questions or just want to know a little more. And I pray that somehow you would reassure them that the Bible is true and what Jesus said is right, that he is the only way. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for Marissa's baptism and the great picture of what you did when you were buried and rose again. Also, we pray for all of the people who are grieving or hurting or sick or upcoming surgeries. We pray for all the people who need your comfort in their lives. And we thank you for a great night at the Esquire. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, see you next week. Come back, bring a friend at the Esquire.